This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, that would be great, or your phone or your tablets, whatever you use to look at the Word of God. We'll be in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. We've started that new series. The kids can take off. That would be great. May there be a herd of adults coming in next week as the kids take off this week, eh? You should be in the second service. There's real fun there. But hear the word of God today. It says that in the very first chapter, verses 9 through 18, most likely, it says, at the time you said this, or at the time I said this to you, you are too heavy a burden for me to carry alone. The Lord your God has increased your number so that today you are as many as the stars in the sky. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. But how can I bear her? Your problems and your burdens and your disputes all by myself. Choose some wise and understanding, respected men from each of your tribes, and I will set them over you. And you answered me, what you purpose to do is good. And so I took the leading men of your tribes, wise and respected men, and appointed them to have authority over you as commanders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and of tribal officials. And I charged your judges at that time, hear the disputes between your brothers and judge fairly, whether the case between a brother or an Israelite or between one of them or an alien. Do not show partiality in judging. Hear both small and great alike. Don't be afraid of any man, for judgment belongs to God. Bring me any case too hard for you, and I will hear it. And at that time, I told you everything you were to do. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we thank you and praise you for this word of God. And we're asking for the next few moments that, Lord, you would change us and transform us. And I have been praying this week that, Lord, this would not be a sermon, but it would be a message that we would hear from you. May I become less and you become more. So all we see today is Christ. Father, we ask that you would bring peace upon us and enable us to think and respond. And Lord, as we have been beginning this journey, we stand in awe that you would speak to us through the word of God and through our circumstances and through people. Father, would you minister to us now that we would leave changed and transformed and continue us on this journey. Thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look up today, we have a privilege of having Rob Douglas with us. He's our Healthy Church Growth Director, but he deals with leadership. And I can remember when my father was a DS, behind the scenes, he took lots of different certifications to deal with conflict. And as a DS and in any type of leadership, that's probably the greatest thing that you have to deal with. And yet so often we don't think that's the case. But even within the body of Christ, even within the church, conflict is somewhat of the norm. And this passage deals with leadership, and it literally deals with good leadership, and it makes a huge difference. And I truly believe that the ability to govern is a God thing. And so that's why we're called to pray for our president and Congress and leaders, because they need God's help in the midst of all that they're doing. And it's an interesting passage to me, because in the midst of preparing the people, And honestly, as I've been preparing this message myself, I sort of began a couple of weeks ago thinking that, you know what, this was going to be an easy part of the text. We're going to talk about leadership, and we are going to talk about leadership, but not this time. About 4:30 in the morning, or really between 2 and 3:30 in the morning, last Monday, God sort of woke me up in the midst of that and said, I know you think you're talking about leadership, but I want you to talk about blessing. And as I thought about that, if you look in this chapter, these couple of verses, in the midst of it, there's this small little sliver, verse 11, and that's what we're going to be dealing with. In fact, the thing that strikes me, if you begin at the very beginning, at the same time I said to you, you have become too heavy a burden for me to carry alone. The Lord has increased your number so that today you are as many as the stars in the sky. And then verse 11 steps in. And it's a little bit out of place because it begins to deal with blessing. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. So this is what we're going to be dealing with today. And I want to challenge you to stop and think about blessing for a few moments, because one of the things that strikes me, as an American, the only time we really hear about blessing is when you sneeze. If you're in an elevator, in the hospital, or wherever you find yourself at work, if someone walks by and sneezes, more often than not, there's that simple, God bless you. It's sort of a habit for us. Or maybe I'm asking you every so often as you gather in the morning on Sundays to have that simple prayer as you greet someone, simply say, God bless you. And for many of us, it's a nice thing. It's a comfortable thing, but I'm not sure we believe it's a real thing. And yet in biblical days and literally around the world today, blessings are important, they're real, they're tangible. In fact, if you go to any other country in the world, blessings and cursing literally changes lives, directions, and outcomes. So in the midst of bringing the nation of Israel into this new land, this new beginning that we talked about last week, there's verse 11. And one of the things, if you read it through this afternoon, or maybe you've read it before, it almost as if, I don't know about you, but it seems as if Moses has a little bit of ADHD. I mean, he's talking about leadership. He's talking about the people being too big of a burden. He's talking about gathering the men together and putting them in leadership positions from tens and hundreds and thousands and those types of things. And yet in the midst of it, he stops and says, and let me tell you about some blessings. Why would he go there? I think first and foremost, he went there because he had a biblical worldview. He saw and knew the importance of words and blessing. And if you want to do something really interesting today, look in the book of Genesis. It's the fifth chapter, I believe. In my Bible, it's 15th chapter. That's where we want to be. It's on page 15. But this is what it says. And imagine this, because this is what Moses was talking about. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but your son will come from your own body, will be your heir. And he looked at Abraham and he said, and he took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. So shall your offspring be. If you remember the story, Abraham at that point didn't have a son. He was supposed to be the father of nations. He was getting up into his 70s and 80s. Nothing was happening there. He was trying to figure out what he should do to make this happen. And God begins to speak to him and says, Abraham, I want you to go out. I want you to look at the stars. I want you to try to count them. Abraham, someday this will be the nation that you birth. Isn't that an amazing scene? And in Deuteronomy, Moses brings it back and says to him, and says to the nation of Israel, literally says to them, wake up. He has answered, this blessing has been fulfilled. You have grown, and that's why I need help. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. He literally says, your numbers have been increased. He reminds them that blessing still works. And like Moses, I want to remind you today that God still blesses and longs to bless his children. But for a majority of Christians nowadays, we don't know a whole lot about blessings. In fact, if I were to take a poll, though you'd probably never say it when you're sitting in the sanctuary, for a lot of us, I think we have this idea that God doesn't work like that anymore. Most of us don't notice the blessings that takes place. Most of us don't talk about blessings. Most of us don't speak about God's blessings. And because of that, we miss them. We even doubt the possibility of them. In fact, one of the interesting things, if you come to the men's breakfast, we've been talking about words and blessings, and it says that one of the greatest things that are missing in our culture today is that there was a day and age where parents would bless their kids. On a regular basis, God, they would bless them, and those things are lacking, and because of that, our youth are wandering. So let me give you some truths here. According to the scripture in Deuteronomy, words matter. Scripture says that literally words have the power of life and death. How many of you believe that? See, a lot of us, we don't take that very seriously. We just assume that words are easy and they come and go and it doesn't really make an impact. I can remember one of the most amazing events for me as a child, and this is going to sound really weird, and I'm sort of glad the kids left, because I can remember my dad came home one day and he was really, really shook up, and we couldn't figure out why. He had gone to Masters, which was sort of like the Target back in the 60s and 70s, and we couldn't figure out what was going on, because he was, you could visibly see that he was shaken. And my dad was one of those people who was fairly stoic and never said a whole lot about anything. And so that Sunday we were all sitting there as a family, and my dad told the story. And it's just an amazing story to me, because he said this week one of the things shook him to the core, and I couldn't figure out what he was talking about, because I was like, I didn't do anything bad. I mean, that's just sort of the way I thought. My dad got upset with stuff. And he says, I was at Masters and I was shopping and I was in line, and the person behind me, it was just a little child, and the mother looked at that little child and said, God damn you. And he was so shook. I can still remember him tearing up at the sermon and saying, why would a mother ask God to do such an awful thing to her child? And it was the first time I recognized that words matter. Do you realize that? The scripture is very clear that there is power in words. It's life or death. But I want you to see that God still blesses people. And you can still receive God's blessings. And you can transform the words that people have said over you by bringing them into alignment with God. Do you realize that you're here today? You're in literally sitting in this sanctuary today because you have a God that pursued you? You have a God that knew you from being in your mother's womb and has chased you. So often we think as Christians, well, it's us turning toward God. Yet Scripture says God is always the one who moves first. He's always the one who pursues. He's always the one who chases. So if you're here today, even if you don't know who God is, you need to recognize that he's been chasing you from the moment you've been conceived. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Ephesians 1:3, because I want you to hear in the New Testament about a praise and a blessing. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. Think about that for a second. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. Stop and think about that for a few seconds. This is the Word of God that is meant to be applied to our hearts and minds and lives and our bodies and the way we think. And it says here, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And you sit there, and most of us sit there and go, wait a minute, I haven't experienced that. What blessing is he talking about? I don't have a Bentley in my driveway. In fact, Joyce and I, when we went to visit Anna down at the hospital, we were driving in Wexford, and we looked up, and there was a Bentley car dealership being built. And I sort of smiled at myself, and then when we were driving back the other way, it said Maserati on the other side. And I thought, whoa, Pittsburgh is growing up. But so far, God hasn't given me either of those things. Isn't that how we often think? That's what God's blessings is all about. Let me share with you the blessings that we have as followers of Christ. Do you realize that it's a blessing that God pursues you? That he chases you down? That he knows the numbers of your days? That he follows you in the midst of all that's been going on in your life? He loves you. He redeems you. He justifies you. He sanctifies you. He calls you his own. He says, according to the word of God, that we are joint heirs with Christ, literally sitting in the throne room with his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He never leaves us. And he opens doors for us. And he forgives us. Are those blessings to you? Think for a few moments. He literally says, for my followers, I give them eternity. The restoration of all things, the restoring of all things, we're going to experience that. And then it goes farther than that. There's some straight-out blessings that the church doesn't talk about as much as we should. Do you realize the Word of God says that Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven? And Jesus was wounded that we might be healed? And that he was made sin with our own sinfulness that we might become the righteousness of Christ Jesus? That Christ died our death that we might share in his life. That Jesus became poor with our poverty that we might become rich. That Jesus bore our shame. Do you hear that one? That we might have his acceptance as children of God. We've talked about it a bazillion times since I've been here. How does God see you when you enter his presence? Does he step back and say, I don't want any part of you? Does he ignore you or not listen? Or is he too busy to notice? Is he putting all the world together and holding it all up so when you come, he sort of looks off to the side? No. No. He looks at you as a child. As a child, one of the joys Joyce and I have been having this recently is that on Saturdays we get to watch Elena every so often, and it has been so much fun because she walks in that door and she's not who we are, I'm sure, at the very beginning. She sort of looks at you and then she smiles. And you know what happens when she smiles? Joyce, give me that kid. Do you realize that that's the image that God longs for us to have? When we come before the throne room, that the angels hush up, and the Father says, come, come. Jesus became a curse that we might receive blessing. Remember the word of God says, anyone who is crucified on the tree is cursed of God. It says that Jesus became a curse that we might receive blessing. Do you realize that if you're a follower of Christ, all these are yours? Do you recognize that today? So for us to sit here and think that we've not been blessed, we simply don't know what the Word of God says, or we need to be reminded of it every so often. Just like Moses does with the people as he begins to talk about leadership and the burden that they are, he stops and says, but let me tell you, remember in the book of Genesis where Abraham didn't think he was going to be a nation, you're that nation and God has increased your numbers. And Moses actually says, and may God increase it even more, increase you 1,000 times. If any of you want to start praying for our church like that, that would be really neat. Do you realize every time you say, God bless you, do you recognize what it encompasses? I guess the thing that strikes me is that almost as if my father were standing next to me today, do you realize that there are a whole lot more children that have grown up with God damn you than God bless you? And maybe it's our job as the body of Christ to let people see what God is really like. And maybe when we look at those kids at school and we know they have no home life and they don't understand right from wrong and they literally are living one moment at a time. I can remember a lady in Maine who just, she came and talked to me one day and she everyone thought she was stupid. She didn't write really well. She didn't speak really well. She didn't read really well. She couldn't do math really well. And she said, it's not that I'm dumb. And I said, no, you're not dumb. She said, when I grew up, my home was so crazy and the abuse was so strong. When I got in the classroom and got to sit still, I would just stare at the clock the whole day because I knew at 3 o'clock I'd be walking into something I couldn't control and I didn't know what was going to happen. It wasn't that I couldn't learn, it's just that my mind was so focused on, am I going to get beat up when I go home, or is it going to be my brother or my sister or my mother? Here's a woman who has experienced the worst, that someone needed to come alongside of her and remind her of the truth. That God loved her and God's blessing was open to her. Do you realize we live in a community? I've had friends who have said that to people at Wawa and Sheetz and they burst into tears because no one has ever done that. Do you realize blessing isn't a gigantic gift and that you and I as followers of Christ have the right and the ability to bless people? Parents, do you ask and declare God's blessing upon your kids? Maybe in their little, you can go to their bedrooms and put your hands on their head and just say, Lord, would you bless this child? When you leave them, when they go for school, do you ever grab hold of them and just hug them for a moment and say, I want you to know I prayed God's blessing upon you today. Just imagine if every child began to recognize and know that God was with them instead of against them. Or how about you spouses? Do you ever look at your husband instead of just, God change that person? Do you ever say, God bless that person? God have compassion on them and watch over them and keep them and favor them and let them sense your delight throughout the day. Lord, would you bless? my spouse? What about the church? Do you ever walk in and pray throughout the week, would you bless Greenville Alliance Church, Heavenly Father? Would you step in and bring unity and joy and celebration? Would you make us into the people a blessing? Do you think about that when teachers go to school? Do you ask God to bless them? The hardest job in the United States right now, I believe, are teachers. Do you ever ask God to bless our community? I mean, it is so easy to complain about all the stuff that is wrong. In fact, if you have that gift, that's the cheapest one you can have. It's not easy to look for everything that's wrong, but do you begin to be a people that ask God to bless? See, I think we also need to recognize as followers of Christ that there's a way that prayer works. And there's a way that the blessings work. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you and I as followers of Christ can bestow blessing. And we do that every week at the benediction. But the blessings of the kingdom of God can't flow to its fullest until we first bring things under his rule and jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. So often you and I want our homes to be blessed, but we don't turn it over to God first and foremost. We want our jobs to be blessed, but we don't ask for God's reign and rule. We want our lives to be blessed, but very, very few times do we come before him and say, Lord, I submit completely to you. May you rule and reign in every area of my life, from my bedroom to the boardroom. Have you asked God's rule and reign upon you in the last week or so? Have you ever just said that simple, quiet prayer, Lord, would you rule and reign in my home and in my heart and in my mind and in my body? Would you rule and reign in my kids' life and their future? See, that's the place to start. We can certainly ask for a blessing, but you got to recognize there's also a pattern for blessing to work, and you need to remove the obstacles. This last week, Dwayne was up at our house, and we were looking where one of my drainage ditches goes, and it was really, really interesting because at our house, all the water runs down it, and we put a new drainage ditch in there, and I even have an old manhole thing that's supposed to guide the water, and we opened it up, and you know what we found? Half of it was filled with dirt and muck, and the other half of it was uphill. So it's really hard to drain water when you're going this way instead of that way. And sometimes that's the way God's blessing is. He wants to pour out blessing upon us, but there's so many obstacles in the way. So if you're looking for God's blessing within your heart and in your mind, just as the nation of Israel did in the whole book of Deuteronomy, is literally Moses saying, this is the way. This is the place to start as followers of Christ. Lord, you rule and reign. I submit to you. You may want to be here today and look for any hindrances to receiving God's greatest blessing. Is there any sin or rebellion? Is there anything that needs to be dealt with or forgiven? See, it's those types of attitudes that short-circuit God's very best, anger and bitterness or unforgiveness or disregard for right. Remember, we talked about it last week. It wasn't that the nation of Israel didn't know right from wrong. It's that they chose to just ignore it. One of the interesting things about the PA Troopers' vision statement, I guess that's what they call, or their call to duty or their honor, one of the most interesting sentences in the whole thing, because it talks about doing the law and being brave, and then it says, there's a simple verse that says, and I will not swerve from my duty. Isn't that an interesting way of putting it? See, they recognize that these men and women, it's not that they're going to disregard their duty, but it's really easy to swerve. Have you ever noticed that? I'm going to really get serious with God next week. That's a swerving. If we're going to experience God's blessings, then we need to be a people that learn to live in alignment. Lord, would everything in my life align with you? Because blessings are real. And God still blesses and answers the prayers for blessing. And God has literally given us that privilege as followers of Christ. We can bestow that upon one another. So even this morning, my prayer has been that you will receive all of God's blessing. But in closing, let me just remind you, think, because for a lot of us as Americans, when we ask God to bless us, we really long for God to bless us, but we think it's all about us, don't we? God, bless me. Bless mine. But then we don't go farther than that. Do you realize in Scripture, anytime God blesses, there's this idea that it will be poured out and shared for the people around us? I mean, one of the most amazing things about the blessing that God put on the nation of Israel, he's told Israel, when I formed you and made you, I wanted you to become a blessing to the world, that everywhere your people go, there will be transformation and change, and God would be lifted up and would be glorified. And he literally says, you've lost sight of that truth. I think that's why he brought other followers of Christ in and opened a new opportunity so that we might be the blessing Israel was meant to be. You're meant to share the blessings that God pours out. And so often we just are concerned about ourselves, and yet God says, I want my people to share the blessing and encourage one another and be generous and kind and open up doors and share that blessing. May we ask for Christ to rule and reign in all things, and may we see God's work like Moses did. See, Moses was looking back to the generations of Abraham, and he remembered, because he knew what Scripture was, he remembered that Abraham said that God said he was going to make my people like the stars of the sky. And when they're about to walk into this new nation, Moses looks around and says, there are herds of people here. They're like the sand on the seashore. May we be a people like Moses that sees God's answers and rejoices. And may you hear and receive God's blessing today. Let's pray. Father, you are the one who still blesses. And I've been praying this week that you would work within our hearts, that we would become the people of blessing for Greenville and Mercer County and Reynolds and Commodore Perry and Conneaut Lake and Conneautville and Shakelyville and Hadley, that we would become the people that so know the Word of God and recognize when what comes out of our lips either brings life or death. Father, I ask that you would encourage us with this truth this day. May we be the people that understand, may the Lord God of our fathers, when we say those words or when they come to our lips, would we recognize that you move and still bless and restore and heal? Would you remove our doubt? And would you open our eyes that we might see all that you have for us as a people this day? May you make us a person like Moses who recognizes his deep need, but also sees you as the one who makes all things possible. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. Would you direct us now? In Jesus' name, amen.